Hey, we're live. Hey, folks, thanks for tuning in to the Banff Podcast. We know you have a lot of choices in your podcast entertainment hours, and we're honored you spend it with us. That was funnier in my head, sorry. Anyway, introductions are hard. But hey, we're going to talk comics and geeky stuff today. We have a very special guest, returning Sean Isaacs, a fabulous artist, does a lot of work for the Big Two. How you doing, Sean?
Good, man. Tired, carrying on. You know the story.
It's the dead of night there in South Africa, right?
It is 11:30 in the evening, and I'm getting my second wind for my next shift to go into the night, and I'll probably stop working probably like 2-3 o'clock in the morning and then get some sleep before I start tomorrow's shift.
Nice. So what are you working on, if I can ask?
I'm working on Avengers at the moment. I'm drawing Avengers No Road Home, which is the spiritual successor to No Surrender. And I'm currently drawing pages where Conan is just cutting up everything. I obviously can't show you any pages, but it is pretty freaking awesome drawing Conan just hack and slashing his way through like bad guys.
You know, we were talking about this last week. It came up that there was going to be that Conan Avengers crossover, and I was kind of gobsmacked that that was happening.
Yeah, I mean, when I got told, like, it was one of the hardest secrets I've had to keep. Because Jim Zub's writing it with Mark Waid and Al Ewing and stuff, and Jim came here to a little convention that we had, and up until then, like, I knew I was working on the book, but I didn't know much about it at that point. And he came and we had dinner and stuff, and he said, "So listen, there's like this character that's going to show up in Avengers," and I was like, "Really?" And he's like, "Yeah, but I can't tell anyone." And I'm like, "What the hell?" And then eventually he told me, and I just like, my jaw dropped, and I was like, "Oh my god!" And then I just like, my friends were all just like, "Why are you smiling?" And I'm like, "Oh, I can't tell you." And for months, I'm just sitting there going like, "Guys, just buy this book because it's going to be awesome." And then I managed to keep it a secret from everybody. And then they kind of announced it when the solicitors came out. And I felt kind of sad because it would have been so cool if it wasn't in the solicits and people just read the book and then they got to the issue and they were like, "Oh my God," when they opened the pages. You know, that's the only problem about knowing stuff in advance.
Oh, I hear you. So are you doing the whole series or some issues, or can you tell us what you're doing?
No, I'm doing issue 4, 5, 6. I'm busy finishing up 6 now and issue 10. Then Paco Medina is doing the other issues. So we're kind of alternating because some of the issues are like extra size. There's like issue 6 now, I've just drawn like 30 pages. So some of the issues are like big chunks of story.
Wow, that's gotta be a dream come true, right?
Oh no, it's awesome. And like, I mean, like, I can't actually tell you anything, but the stuff that happens is going to blow your mind. Like, I got to draw, like, I don't know if you guys are picking up the Immortal Hulk right now, where he's like super creepy and more of like a horror character and stuff. I'm not even a big Hulk fan, but drawing scary ass Hulk is a lot of fun.
Nice. Well, hey, let's just, that's weird. Introducing everybody real fast. Christopher McLaughlin is here too. And you guys have worked together before when you used to illustrate stuff for Green Ronin back in the old days.
Yes, he did some, most recently, they did some stuff for Rogues Gallery. And I was very, very blessed to have him on some of my stuff. And I was just absolutely gobsmacked at how absolutely brilliant and how absolutely perfect it was. I mean, it's one thing to get somebody that is technically a great artist, because obviously that's a great skill and a great talent. But somebody that can get the details right. I mean, actually, if our memory serves, he drew the very first Rogues Gallery entry that we did with Lady Lightning. And the facial expression he did said everything about that character. It took me 3 paragraphs of words to describe what his one portrait conveyed all by itself. And I was just like, "Who is this guy?" And then later on, I found out my wife's a fan, too. So, yeah, he's won over the whole McGee household. So, yes.
Oh, that's cool. I'm glad to hear it, man. No, like drawing all the Green Ronin stuff, like I love drawing those characters. I still remember telling, like, I don't know who I said it to, because I usually talk to Hal Mangold when I talk to people like that. And I'm usually like, wow, you guys just, I mean, these characters are all so cool. Some of them are like, there was the, I think one of my favorite books was the Teen Hero book, obviously.
Yes.
And I love those characters. And I'm like, why are you just not making comic books for these characters? And, you know?
Definitely not speaking on behalf of Green Ronin, but you know, it just, you know, they've announced, I think, two releases for all of 2019, and I'm just like, wow, it just, you know, you're right. I agree with you. I've always thought it was okay. Putting aside that I did a little scribbling in the margins of it, I always thought it was a great universe, and I've always thought they should do more with it.
Yeah, I think so too. It's like one of those things where, like, you'll play Dungeons and Dragons, right?
Mm-hmm.
But like, if you have a game inside Kryn, and you've read the Dragonlance books, it just makes your game playing experience so much richer. So, like,
oh, yeah. I thought,
like, why don't they just do comics like that? And then, well, like, you read the comics and then you play in the setting. It's really quite nice.
Mm. Well, why would you do comics when you can have the big money of RPGs?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, yeah. And it's a good time to mention that the awesome James Gates is doing a fiction line at Ronin, Nishaba Press, and she's putting out M&M fiction. So maybe that, you know, she's awesome, and I imagine the stories will be too, and maybe that'll do well, and that'll convince them to take the next step.
Yeah, that's cool.
I want a book about the monkey world you wrote.
Oh, I'd do that in a heartbeat.
No, well, you know that there was that thing where all the comics used to have like gorillas on the covers because they sold so well, right?
Yes. Yes. And in fact, of all the great projects we ever talked about doing in Lost, at one point, Darren Watts and I had talked John Lighthouser into doing a crossover between Earth Ape in the M&M universe and and his great monkey supervillain in the Hero universe, Dr. Silverback. And we, you know, but things got crazy. The production schedule, we wound up not doing it. But there for a while, we were going to do like the ape crossover between our two fictional universes.
You know how they have the strength force now to be alongside the speed force in DC?
Yes.
You can see where I'm going with this, right?
I don't know how I feel about that, man. Like, I feel like it's. You know, you had your Green Lantern, and then you had like the mm-hmm. Spectrum and stuff. Like, making the Speed Force now have like a Strength Force, and like, I don't know what's going to come afterwards. Just kind of, I feel like, dilutes the specialness of a Speed Force, you know? Because then, like, does it come down that, like, does Superman get his strength from the Strength Force? Does, you know?
Does Batman get his intelligence from the Smart Force?
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it. Like, I mean, I'm sure this, like, the story's cool, and like, I don't like bad-mouthing other creators at all. But like, some choices, I sit and I'm like, out of all the pitches that people must have submitted for story ideas, like, this is the one you went with. I'm like, I don't know. It might be great. Like, it might be awesome and stuff. I'm not currently reading it. I haven't read any Flash comics in a while. Mm. So the people that are enjoying it, I'm like 100% for it, because that's cool. It's like one of those things, like. Like, I won't pick up any Flash comics for years, and then someone will bring a new voice to it, and I'll be like, oh, cool, and then I'll read it for however long that run is, you know. But I don't begrudge anybody enjoying the stuff that's getting put out.
Oh, and lest I forget, rounding out our panel today is Walt Rebilliard. Hey, Walt.
I actually tap into the Strength Force on a constant basis.
True. Can you send me some? Because I'm weak as shit, man.
Actually, right now it's coming courtesy of Black Rifle Coffee, AK-47 blend. So,
I am currently channeling the Sloth Force.
The Sloth Force,
and it is coming through Cheetos and Mountain Dew. So I can send some of that your way too.
Yeah,
okay, I'm like the healthiest one. Yeah, I've literally just got like a big bottle of sparkling water, and that's all I got.
I was just trying to be funny, but yeah,
it is like what, like 50 degrees centigrade out there or something like that right now.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, I need a, like, an iced coffee machine here.
Nice.
Yeah, and I guess while we're talking temperature, a big shout out to our fans on the East Coast who are you know, surviving saber-tooth tiger attacks and glaciation and all that.
Yes, cutting our tauntauns open for warmth. And
I am so glad there are no saber-tooth tigers in my area, because my wife would, like, find them and bring them home.
They're not the best pets.
No.
Speaking of saber-tooth tigers, have you guys seen that, like, they're bringing back in the current Avengers title, they brought back old Kazar, man.
Really?
Dude, right. I haven't actually picked up the issue. I saw a preview page, and he's like part of like a secret Wakandan Avengers group or whatever. And like, there's one scene on the preview page that I saw, and it was literally like one of Panther's flipping jets going over the ocean, and they needed to get something from Namor, like something out of from Atlantis.
So is Namor a bad guy right now?
Yeah, he's sort of like full on anti surface world kind of thing going. But like, there's just this scene where it's just like Kazar diving out of this freaking jet into the ocean with a knife between his teeth. And he's like, he's the one guy that's going to go into Atlantis to get this thing. And I'm like, how? Like, how badass is he that he's just like, no, it's fine. I don't need flipping water, rebreathers. I don't need nothing. I'm just going to dive in here, go to Atlantis and get this thing. And I'm like, I kind of want to draw that book. Like, you know?
Yeah, that's probably the best way to use that character, though. Just, you know, something ballsy like that, reintroduce him to the readers.
Yeah, just like, he needs to be like suit, like hardcore in some other, like, you know, Secret Agent Kazar or something. I don't know.
I'm picturing the scene with Kazar wearing a tuxedo at Monte Carlo.
And he's going to get into his superhero suit, which is a loincloth.
So what's it like work with Mark Waid? Can I ask that question? Is that a horrible fanboy question?
Dude, like, I think it's like a thing with writers, like, because they write so much, they don't really write a lot in emails. Like I send pages out. I also try not to be a super fanboy with him and like email him. So I kind of just send like a group email, like, this is a page I've done. And then he'll reply. He'll be like, great page, Sean. And I'm like, Mark Waid said I did a great page. Yay. And then like Al Ewing would say like, that's an awesome page. And I'm like, Al likes my pages. And then Jim will say like, okay, great page. And I'm like, you know, everybody will kind of say that, but they don't say much else really. So I don't really chat to the guy that much, but I'm a big fan of his work. I mean, he wrote like my favorite run of Captain America back when they were like super memorable, like one shots where it's Cap saving people from a submarine, like in a submarine, and losing his shield, like those kind of things, you know.
Are you talking about back in the 90s?
Yeah, back in the 90s. And like his Flash run was amazing. I loved his Flash stuff. Yeah, so I'm like a big fan, so I just try not to nerd out, and I just kind of go to my friends, and I'm like, I've got Mark Waid's email address. Yeah.
So what are you reading these days, Sean?
Not much, eh? Not much. But I did pick up, let's see, I have like 7 comic boxes full of trades and graphic novels and some doubles because I forget what I bought, just sitting waiting to be read. So I've started trying to catch up. So I've read... What did I read last week? I read Justice League Dark, which was freaking amazing. It's issue, I think, 11. It's got Man-Bat on the cover. And you read the issue, and it reads like those old, I don't know if you guys read them, those eerie and creepy comics.
I have the complete run. I have the complete run of both.
Dude, yeah, it was like reading one of those. Like, the only thing is I kind of wish, like, it's really nice in color, but I kind of wish it was in black and white as well.
Oh, yes.
Then it would make it even better. But it was so cool because it kind of starts off and it's narrated. It's like short stories sort of narrated by Man-Bat.
Oh, wow.
And you don't know who he's talking to. And he's like, no, there's this evil that's coming and showing up. And he's like, let me tell you about this guy. And there's like a short encounter that he tells you about between like this new these new monsters and members of Justice League Dark, and I'm like, this is freaking awesome. And it's also really creepy. Like the one monster, like bad guy that shows up is called The Soup. Okay. That's kind of ridiculous. And then when you see him, it's like this imagine like a a plastic humanoid outline, right? So it looks like a big rubber person, but inside is like a clear soup. So you're seeing like bones floating around and like eyeballs and like dissolving pieces. And I'm like, that's fucking creepy. Yeah. But I loved it. Hey?
Keith Richards joke. The soup is Keith Richards without makeup. Sorry, that was my big punchline. Sorry.
Sorry, my bad. I read that. What else am I reading? I read Young Justice. Young Justice, I like the new characters, but I think the issue was a bit off to a slow start.
Yeah, it was. I had a similar feel with that. I was really happy to see the characters back, but not a lot happened in there.
No, not a lot happened. But I mean, it was still cool. I'm more of a trade buyer anyway, but every now and again, I'll buy like a single issue to check it out. I'm currently collecting West Coast Avengers. I love West Coast Avengers. So just so much fun. Like, it's just ridiculous comic fun. I love that. Also, like, I'll read anything like Kelly Thompson writes, like her Hawk. I've still got to read the last volume of her Hawkeye run. And Hawkeye, like, I was reading it, and I'm just like, it's Veronica Mars with superheroes, if you haven't read it. And it's just, it was also, like, I loved it so much. What else? Yeah, I haven't gotten to read much else. I've started Paper Girls. Paper Girls is interesting. And that's about it, eh? Like, all that other stuff. I've got boxes of things. I've got BPRD I've still got to catch up on. I've got a ton of Spider-Man stuff I've got to catch up on still. They're all just in boxes waiting to be read. And when I can get a week off, I'm going to probably read comics.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I've been reading West Coast Avengers, too. I kind of started it because I was following the Hawkeye characters, and it's been a lot better than I expected. I was a little put off by BroDoc, but I stuck with it, and I've really been enjoying it as well.
They had me when they had land sharks. Because I've got a weird obsession about sharks, right? So, like shark movies, like, as bad as they are, I'll watch them. You know, and I'll hate myself for wasting time watching them, but I'll watch them on this. And every now and again, there'll be something really cool, and I'll be like, "Oh, that's amazing!" So when it had land sharks, I was kind of sold. It's why I desperately want to have a proper. I mean, the one that the King Shark that you see in the Flash TV series is amazing, but I just kind of want to see him now in the Suicide Squad movie, in the sequel. You know, I don't know why. I'm weird.
We like
they've done some cool things with the CGI with some of those characters like King Shark and Gorilla Grodd. You'd ever see him on TV not looking ridiculous, but they spent the money for the CGI. It looked pretty good.
Yeah, and they've dropped hints about a King Shark Gorilla Grodd fight they mentioned in one of the episodes, and I'm like, if that's one of the episodes that's coming up, I'm sold. What's everyone else reading?
Well, I literally just got my monthly comic shipment off my front stoop. I had to get it out there before, you know, it froze and shattered.
Oh, shit, that's bad.
Yeah, and let's see what's in the pile. I actually have the current run of Flash, and I'm actually kind of enjoying the forces so far, because I've always thought DC Comics are at their best when they acknowledge that they've been around forever and they sort of try to homage everything that's gone before, but they keep in mind that the essential thing of DC is that it's also a Greek myth. The fact that these things exist, but they're not going to a great detail to explain them. They're leaving them mythic, but using them as an excuse to tie so many elements over the years together. That part of it I appreciate. You know, I've always, because to me, you know, DC is like a Greek myth. Marvel to me is always that drawing in the official handbook of the Marvel Universe, where they try to explain how Daredevil can actually cram that much gadgetry into a cane. You know, that to me is Marvel. If you actually want to know how he can cram so much crap into a cane, Marvel is probably more your jam. So yeah, So yeah, but to me so far it's been handled well. So far so good. And I have the Robert Venditti run on Hawkman, which is absolutely fantastic. I think the more underrated comics was Jeff Johns and later on Jimmy Palmiotti and Justin Gray's run on Hawkman.
Oh man, like that run with by Jeff Johns and Rags Morales.
Yes,
those 50 issues defined Hawkman. Like, why? Like, it still kind of bugs me that after that, they still went back and tried to retool his history. You know what I mean?
Yes,
and I'm like, absolutely. Why? It was perfect as it is. You could have left it like that and just told stories pushing the character forward.
Oh, you know what I mean? you were singing out of my hymn book, brother. I love you. But the great thing about the Venditti run is it's doing the same thing that the Johns run did, only it's also cleaning up the mess that Jim Starlin and other people made of it after Johns and Palmiotti and Gray left the character. He's actually come up with this great backstory of for Carter Hall that explains it all, ties it together, and it has a pretty good neat story out of it. You know, this is issue 8 and he's already had a team up with the Atom, and I'm thinking, this is a guy that gets this character. This is somebody who understands what, you know, how this character can work. So I'm a big fan of it so far. I love Venditti's work on Green Lantern. I mean, I'm not surprised he's doing such a fabulous job on Hawkman. And here we go. All right, to continue my Robert Venditti fanboyishness, I'm on my second issue of his Freedom Fighters limited series.
Oh, I love the first issue of that. I did read that.
Yes.
I love when like lesser known characters get it.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's great that not only is he being true to these characters, he's doing a blatantly political work, and it doesn't feel like somebody's standing on my chest screaming at me. That's always a blessing.
Hey, speaking of DC and politics, anyone reading Grant Morrison's Green Lantern?
Nah, he was saying he took it out into space and dropped all the other lanterns, which are infinitely more interesting than Hal, so I bailed.
I haven't read Green Lantern in... I stopped reading Green Lantern after Blackest Night.
Oh, okay. That's a ways back.
It's a ways back, but like I keep up with comics. I kind of like will browse through the solicits and stuff, and nothing's really grabbed me in a very long time. The only things I've sort of stuck with, like collecting, but I haven't read yet, obviously, is Green Arrow. I collected the new Nightwing for a little while, but I don't think the voice that Nightwing's had recently was really for me. So I've collected out of habit. But Green Arrow, I've loved a lot of the Green Arrow stuff, and they've always had like great art teams, and that's kept me hooked on that. But before I carry on, there is some Green Lantern stuff coming that I've seen that I'm super interested in, though. I can't remember the name of the artist, but it looks like there's like this kid Green Lantern that's going to be showing up in a graphic novel later on in the year or next year.
Oh, wait, are you talking about Teen Lantern from Young Justice?
No. There's another one. I'll have to look on my phone.
So many Green Lanterns.
Yeah, I'll have to try and find it. No, there's another like kid that's going to become a Green Lantern. I'll see if I can find it. I'm sure I've got to pin something. But carry on. You guys carry on talking, and I'll jump back in with it.
Well, what are you reading these days?
It's a like a giant grab bag. It's like, you know, somebody told me I had to go run on vacation real quick, and I just grabbed everything from every drawer I could open and threw it in there. And you know, I'll probably be wearing dress pants, a Hawaiian shirt, and a fedora. Because, I mean, lately my comics taste has been all over the place just because of the fact that there's so much out there that's so good, and there's also so much out there that just sucks like a $10 vacuum. It's just, it's almost a tragedy of riches, and at the same time, you know, you have to sift through all of the bad to get to the stuff you really like. So one thing I've really been enjoying on Marvel Unlimited is the Domino series from 2018. It's like a gal pal adventure with tons of guns and all the, you know, the mutant drama that goes with that. But I mean, it's a fun story, fun art. They just released issue 4 on Unlimited, which is where I'm catching it.
That's Gail Simone, right?
Yes. And she's going to David be
doing that as well. I think his name's David Bell.
Sorry, dude.
I don't know how to pronounce your name.
Yeah, his art's fun. His art's really fun. And in issue 4, she teams up with the Master of Kung Fu. You know, that's really good. I just picked up too, because I love sci-fi comics. We had Bob Sally on talking about his series Salvagers. So anything like that, I'm just a total geek for. And they just released Alien Resistance, and it has the main character, Zula Hicks, no relation to the corporal from the second movie, who is a former Marine who in Alien, the previous Alien series, she was the main heroine, and the daughter of Ellen Ripley. And they're investigating a little alien outbreak here and there, but the issue was slow to start, but it introduced some neat elements, like Weyland-Yutani taking some of the tech that they've seen, or some of the biological traits that they've seen in some of these aliens, the xenomorphs, and kind of sticking them into like android tech and other things that they're using. So that was a neat thing. So yeah, it's pretty neat. The art is kind of in the sections where it's meant to be wide open, you really feel the vastness of space, and then the sections where it's meant to be very confined, you feel that too. So the artist did a great job of kind of setting up the shots and angling the camera. So I mean, really good stuff.
That's cool. Yeah, I mean, one day I'm going to do a sci-fi horror comic, man. Like it's one of those genres in movies I wish we had more of, you know, kind of like Event Horizon type stuff, you know.
We should do our own version of Creepy and Eerie, you and me.
All right,
we try it.
When are we doing this?
Make a plan. Hey, any of you guys read Outer Darkness?
I caught the first issue.
I have not yet.
Yeah, I just couldn't. I don't know. The art wasn't catching me.
We're feeling it. Okay. It's kind of, we were talking about sci-fi horror, which is why I'm on this subject. It's, you know, it's a lot like, you know, typical Star Trek space opera kind of universe, but starships are powered by, you know, they bind powerful demons or ancient gods into their warp drives.
That sounds cool.
Nothing bad could ever happen.
Yeah. And that when they're investigating space, they're not fighting off aliens, they're fighting off demons and ghosts and various supernatural threats that, you know, lurk in the, you know, inky blackness of space and on the various planets they go to. So you've got alchemists and exorcists and priests on board, and
sounds very much like something I'd be into.
It's coming up on issue 4, I think, next month. It's from Image. I've really been enjoying it, but I understand where Walt's coming from, maybe on the art, because it's definitely what you would call animated style. You know, kind of sort of looks like the old Batman cartoon, sort of, you know. But I've really been into it.
Yeah, that's what caught me off guard a little bit was, you know, the cover was very of the first issue was very cool, and I'm like, all right, I'm into this. I picked it up on Comixology and started thumbing through it, and I'm like, it's one of those things where you get this amazing cover art, and then you open it up, and you get Crayola on the pages, and you're like, what happened to this art? So, I mean,
well, you don't like it, I like it. We can have differences of opinion. But yeah, I was reading the back matter, and the artist was saying he was going for that kind of, you know, it looks like a cartoon. It could, you know, it could be next to Samurai Jack. It's got that kind of, you know, sort of a, you know, clean, basic artistic style.
Oh, maybe I'll pick up the rest of the issues that are out and give it a second try.
Yeah, I would offer to send them to you, but I only have them in the Comixology, so we can't share them.
That's okay. No, I also have the Comixology.
No, it's one of those where it's. I mean, believe it or not, when I first picked up Dark Knight Returns, I didn't like the artwork. And same with like Preacher, until I've like read a few issues, and then it just kind of fit.
Yeah, Cassie takes a while to grow on you. I gotta say, Dark Knight Returns, I still don't like the art all that much, but it was such a cool book. I just kind of hung with it.
No, I eventually grew to like really love the art because of it fit that story. Damn it! I'm trying to find the name of this freaking kid.
the new young Green Lantern.
Yeah, like I found the artist, but I'm scrolling through all of his stuff to try and find when he mentions it. But it's apparently a new Green Lantern graphic novel, which has this little Asian-looking kid, and he looks okay. He looks like an Asian.
All right, so he's got kind of long black hair.
He's got a really cool costume design. The name of the artist is.
They announced this in February 2018 for an October 2019 debut.
Oh, did you find it?
Yeah, I found it. Let me.
The guy's called. But it's Steel Scarlet on Twitter.
Oh, hey, Aid Smith from the UK has joined us. How you doing, Aid?
Hello, not too bad. Thank you very much.
Sorry, we started a little bit earlier.
That's why you caught me all out, didn't you? You sneaky, cheeky binkies.
Sorry about that. But yeah, if you go to blogofo.com, I got the link in there. Yeah, they announced this guy back almost a year ago.
Yeah, I'm very excited for it because I was saying the other day, like the story potential for like a teen Green Lantern is just so rich for like stories and trying to figure out powers and like what can a kid come up with when he's making constructs? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, looks like the kid's going to be named Tai. He's a young Vietnamese boy who finds his grandmother's jade ring, which is a Green Lantern ring.
And yeah, I'm super into this. Super into this.
What's this? Sorry.
There's going to be a new graphic novel lines for young adults, and this one has a young Vietnamese boy.
Oh, part of the DC Inc. and the DC other one. Yeah, yeah.
DC Zoom, I think.
Yeah, that's the one. That's the dude. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I got the link in the chat window there. So I didn't know about that. That was announced 12 months ago. So
yeah, there was some delay after Black Label got delayed a lot, and I think that was part of the problem. But originally it was, I think, Black Label and those two were literally going to launch on the same month or like a month after, and there was some kind of delay going along there. Whether or not it's, and then Bendis has got these Wonder comics as well, so I think they got a bit. Imprinted out for a little while.
But I think that's one of the cool things, because I feel like DC is always, since like Dark Knight Returns and Watchmen and stuff, they've always tried leaning into something so dark, and like it works for the Bat family and stuff like that, but it kind of pushes me away from other titles, because like, you know, Superman, the people drawing Superman heavy in shades with glowing red eyes all the time just started getting on my nerves. You know what I mean? And I think Bendis bringing in this line of like fun comics with like the Wonder Twins and Young Justice and stuff is just, I'm very excited for that stuff. You know, it's like making comics fun again in the DC side.
So you're on board with the Wonder Twins, because I've been kind of iffy about that.
I think it looks really good. I haven't read it yet, but yeah.
I remember it was saying to someone a while ago, I'm like, yeah, I'd love to draw a Wonder Twins comic, just because no one was doing it, and you got these characters. Like, there's so many characters that you can mine for great stories, and I just love taking, like, I mean, there's always a lot of fun in drawing, like, the big popular characters, but there's this cool thing about taking characters that no one knows and making them, like, these awesome, like, rock stars, you know? It's why I keep on talking on Twitter. I'm like, we need an Alpha Flight book and we need an Excalibur book, like, now.
Oh, a proper Excalibur Captain Britain book would be absolutely awesome.
Dude, I already have my lineup.
I would be so much into that, because, that original lineup would be absolutely perfect.
I would change the lineup a little bit. I was talking to someone the other day. So I would try and make Excalibur like way more diverse to cover like the whole of like Europe and stuff like that. So I'd have Cap and Megan, obviously, but they'd be like, they've got like a family, so they would be like the guys that stay at home and they send out their team on missions and stuff like this, right? So the team would consist of, and when I tell you the last person, you're gonna laugh. So the team would consist of Lionheart. I don't know if you remember her.
Yep.
Yeah.
Lionheart, And then there was what's her name now? I forgot. It was a Muslim woman that carried Excalibur. They called her Excalibur.
I was about to say she's got to be in it. Yeah. Is it Excalibur? Yeah, What is she actually carrying? Is it Excalibur? Isn't it?
Yeah, she called herself Excalibur. Her name was Hussein or something.
Yeah, and she was in the Excalibur
Armin 13
Secret Wars. No, she was in the Secret Wars book. They did those two Secret Wars books for like the mini series for each of the different worlds, and she was in that. As far as I know, that's the last time I've actually seen her be in anything. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I'd have those two. Then I'd have Siren.
Faiza Hussein.
There we go.
I'd have her. I'd have Lionheart. I would have Siren, Banshee's daughter.
That'd be cool.
Okay, I'd have her. And then I would have who's the other person? There was someone else.
Juggernaut.
No.
Super Scroll.
No, sorry. The I wanted to, I was probably have like Kai Lin because I love Kai Lin in general. And then I either have Kai Lin or I'd have, I don't know. So like I thought about having Black Knight in there as well.
See, Black Knight would be good. It would work.
It'd be Black Knight or Kai Lin, right, Eva? And then the last person I'd have, just because it'd be so much fun and you could make him so cool, and also just because you're trying to get all these different countries have representatives, right? And then I'd have the surprise member would be Batroc.
Oh,
I'd have Batroc in there trying to be reformed reformed, or it'd be someone else that's like he's messed up the legacy. I just have like a French martial artist in there just kicking all kinds of ass and being snarky and shit. That'd be my lineup.
Okay, so do you have any pull at Marvel to get this all off the ground, or because that sounds like a good book to me?
I have a couple of pitches I want to try. I have a Marvel horror pitch that I want to try, but I have been told also like left of center characters, like there's like one maybe main character, but I doubt that I'll get to use it. And I have been told that for an artist to pitch stories, it's a lot harder, so I'm not getting my hopes up, but I'll give it a try. I'll try with Excalibur, and I'll try with my horror book, because I have this image that I want to draw for an Excalibur cover, and it's just basically like imagine like Big Ben kind of smashed in half, and you have like Captain Britain busy trying to hold it up on like the cover. I want to draw that.
Cool.
When I have free time that I don't ever have.
You know, I've got this pitch I keep sending to DC with Vulcan and Black Lightning and Apache Chief, and they just don't keep getting back to me on that, and I'm very disappointed.
Oh man.
So, well, hey, we are about at 30 minutes, and I know you're on a very tight deadline with the Avengers work, Sean. So you want to go ahead and wrap up?
We can. I can spare like another 5-10 minutes if you want to go over anything else, because I feel like Walt has been very freaking quiet.
I know, it's so unusually out of
unless we're talking about like dogs and shoes.
And just keep in mind, folks, that's dogs in shoes and not dogs and shoes. Oh my god. How about gaming, Sean? Have you been able to do any gaming lately?
No, for a stint about a month ago, I started playing Destiny. And it's talking tabletop, Destiny 2, but I'm hoping that like somewhere between like hoping to get like an hour in this weekend to play some Anthem. I'm very excited for Anthem, but I look at Anthem and I'm like, why don't we have an Iron Man game where you can fly around and shoot things? So I'm very excited for that. I loved the Spider-Man game that came out.
I was just going to ask you that, if you had played it.
I have the last DLC to play, but I've done everything else.
Nice.
I played that game. Sometimes I didn't even play that game. I'd be like half asleep and you need to kind of wind down after drawing. And then I would sit and plug it in and I would just like swing around just for like an hour, just swinging and doing somersaults and stuff. But I love that game. And I'm hoping that leads to a lot more Marvel games, because I want a Captain America game where I can smash people in the face with a shield. And
nice.
I'm hoping for a gold edition, because I haven't played it yet, because they did the DLC so close to the actual initial launch. Mm-hmm. But then they announced like last week that the Future Foundation costumes just come out, and it's like, oh no, now I really want that. I love the Future Foundation costumes. So.
They put so much detail into those costumes; it's ridiculous. Even like the Scarlet Spider, the Iron Spider costume. Holy crap! It looks amazing, like in that game. I'm hoping for more games like that. But yeah, otherwise, other than Anthem, I'm looking forward to, I think, the new the Final Fantasy Remastered, whenever that comes out.
Have you got to roll any dice at all?
I basically just messaged everybody today, and I'm like, guys, I'm not gonna be able to make any games for the next month because issue 10 that I'm drawing is like 30 pages, and like if I go out at all, I'm not gonna make that deadline. So, I said, like, listen, I'm not going to see you guys for a month, so make sure your games are, like, my characters are all outside watching the horses while you guys are in the dungeon. So I've been playing...
I want to watch the horses. That's important.
There's always going to be someone to watch the horses, because, I mean, you know, I swear, like, if you lived in a D&D world, if you had horses, you'd be rich, because adventurers would come, their horses would get eaten, they'd have to come back, you know. So I've been playing... Call of Cthulhu.
Nice.
On my alternate Fridays with my buddies, and that's been a lot of fun because my one friend went and he splurged and he got like the deluxe edition. So when he hands out like a newspaper clipping, it is actual newspaper with an article on it. You know, like I don't know how much it cost him. It's like it was ridiculous money. So we actually have like a big cork board on the wall with like actual photos of suspects and, you know, like a map, and he just pulled out the other day, he pulled out a map, an olden day map of London, and like my eyes just went like cross-eyed because of all the streets. Like I was just like, I can't even look at this, like it hurts my eyes because it was the small print, like with every name of the road and everything, was ridiculous. There was one in the one game we found a photo of a dead body, and he pulled out, and it's an actual photo that someone had taken and obviously done like prosthetic makeup to put like a branding on their face. It was so creepy because it was just so real. So I've been enjoying that game. And my character hasn't died yet, but had some really hectic stuff happen. And then the other game we're playing is a buddy of mine's taken the Genesis system. I don't know if you guys are familiar with it. So he's taken the Genesis system and taken like odds and ends and built a like mini campaign where we're playing in like either we haven't figured it out yet. There's a big mystery. It's either three different timelines or three different dimensions, but we're all variations of the same character. So in one, we're developing superpowers, you know. In another one, it's sort of like Fallout, where it's like post-apocalyptic, and we're fighting against like zombies in like a desert landscape. And then the other one is we are Arthurian knights on a crusade, and so we kind of have these characters, and he's kind of weaving this game together where and the ones that are the characters that are developing superpowers are, I'm convinced, I'm not 100% sure, but I'm convinced that someone has managed to get Jack the Ripper's DNA and has made several like a bunch of clones of Jack the Ripper in one day that's going around killing people, but he also has superpowers.
That's freaky.
Yeah, so those are the two games we're playing at the moment. And then on Sunday nights, I usually play a game on Roll20.
Nice.
We're playing Curse of Strahd, and and what's happening is like, so just like my setup is, yeah, they'll look at my half the side of my face most of the time because while we're playing, I'm drawing, so I'm busy doing it. It helps them keep me locked at my table. And I'll sit and I kind of poke up whenever there's a fight. And I'm like, okay, cool. I'll do some of that stuff. Then whenever there's like social interactions, I'm busy back to drawing and stuff. But Curse of Strahd was very funny because I've lost like two characters already. And I'm on my third one in that game.
Is it 5e?
Yeah, it's the 5e version.
Yep.
And I had a gnome sorcerer who, when we eventually fought the Baba Lasaga, which is the Baba Yaga wannabe kind of thing. The first thing he did was like, oh crap, she's going to attack us. I need to find cover. So he runs to try and get into her hut because he didn't know. And I, as a player, forgot that Baba Yaga has a a crazy ass hut that tries to kill you.
And then
he couldn't get through the front door, and then the hut just flattened him. Just like, I think he was like third level. He had like 21 hit points, and this thing just flattened him for like 36 points of damage, and he was like done. Then I was like, okay, fine. Then I made another character, and this other character went, and we eventually got to this point, and we ended up fighting the only blue dragon in the whole fucking campaign. And I was like, cool. I managed to like stop him from moving. The other character managed to like lock him down with like entangle. And then I was like, sweet, he can't move. I'm just gonna wail at him. And it just turns out that he doesn't have to move to use a breath weapon and just roasts us. And so now I'm playing my third character, which is this warlock who's just like hanging by a thread to survive. And he's just like, I'm gonna run and hide, and I'm just gonna stay behind everyone else. But it's a fun game. We have a really cool GM and a nice little group in that. So
right on.
Yeah, so I'm still getting my gaming on. It keeps me sane. It's like the best escapism for me.
And it keeps you at the table.
It keeps me work at the table when I'm like, no, I have to play. I'm busy in a game. So like, I'll have a fight. You know, it'll get the adrenaline up a little bit. You get the excitement. And I'm like, oh, I can stay awake a little bit longer and I carry on working. So it kind of works.
So that's like your hit of coffee.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, otherwise, I need to get going, so I will let you guys go, because I've hogged all the talking here. I feel bad. But this is like one of the few social times I'm like, oh, I get to there's real people that want to talk to me.
Hey, I just wanted to mention, I don't know if you would read Gwenpool, but they had kind of a take on Batroc, like you were talking about.
Oh, yeah? No, I haven't read Gwenpool. Like, I mean, it looks like I love the artwork and stuff, but what do they do with Batroc in there?
He's actually competent and empathetic, so you know. Usually,
that's cool.
Play him as a clown, but this time they didn't. So yeah, it's worth checking out if you get a chance. So
okay, I'll tell you that, because the last time I saw him was during Sam Wilson Captain America. He had like a new costume in those pages. They were stupid imminent pages. So I was just like, oh my god, just like look at every line. They're just amazing. And that's what, like, I saw that and I'm like, yeah, man, he could be really cool as like a cool martial artist trying to reform himself and part of Excalibur. You got a little Frenchie there, like it'll be a nice little team to put together.
Yeah, that'd be fun. All right, let's wrap things up. I want to thank everybody for coming out. Aid, Chris, Walt, especially Sean. Thanks to everybody.
Mike, sorry. Yeah. I understand that Sean has to go, but if we could go on for a few seconds, I do want to say a word about the Kickstarter.
Oh yeah!
Thank you for reminding me. Yeah, please go ahead.
Okay. Well, Sean, feel free to leave if you need to, because you are awesome and keep doing awesome stuff, and we will keep buying your awesome stuff.
I want to hear about the Kickstarter. I haven't backed Kickstarter in a while, and I feel like I the money I don't have is burning a hole in my non-pants.
Well, Chris, do you want me to set it up, or you want to set it up?
Go right ahead.
All right. Well, Greater Than Games. Put out a wildly popular card game a few years back called Sentinels of the Multiverse. It's a superhero card game. And they are now doing a RPG version. They had a quick start last year, and this is the full game. Came out on Kickstarter this week, and our friend Chris is one of the writers of the history, or the backstory of the comics unit. You're writing the backstory of the fictional comic.
Yes.
Explain that part.
Yes. Well, the incredibly talented people over at Critical Hits are doing the actual rules. And if you go to the Kickstarter page for the Sentinel Comics, the role-playing game page, that gives you a nice little rundown of it. It's a very, 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 very unique system designed to be more dramatic than tactical. It feels more like the best parts of a LARP. Or a fate system type game where it's all about telling a good story rather than it feeling like squad leader, which, you know, some superhero games can feel like sometimes. Let's see here. We are a hair under $171,000 on the Kickstarter, which is amazing.
Damn.
They have just announced stretch goals up to $250,000, which just stuns me. And depending on what level, and you can back at a certain level and get the role-playing game, and you can also get the book that my co-writer and I, Darren Watts, are working on, which is The History of Sentinel Comics. And you can also back at a lower level and get that as a separate add-on if you want. So yes, so you can get our book regardless of what level that you back at. It is available for purchase. And basically, this is all Darren Watts' idea, was basically to treat Sentinel Comics, the company that has been putting out the comics that the cards have been making references to all these years. We're telling like the behind the scenes story of how these comics got made. So it was this great opportunity to like weave together all of the great behind the scenes comic stories, all the really terrible publisher stories that Darren and I have collected during our years in the fantasy role playing game business, and weave them together into this wonderful, wonderful narrative. And I was already in love with this project. And then there was the day that Darren notified me and said, "Oh, by the way, we're going to be making a movie based on this book." So if you haven't been seeing it on YouTube, the first two parts of Sentinel Comics, The Untold Story, have been posted on YouTube. I think we just went up to the mid-1950s when the evil Senator Seliker launches this juvenile delinquency scare against Sentinel Comics. And it's just absolutely stunning. I mean, the bits from the Legacy serial from the 1940s, I mean, it's just been so staggeringly well done. And believe me, it's a unique experience for an author when you stay up all night writing stuff in a certain character's voice. Then the next day on YouTube, there's an actor playing that character talking to you on your screen. That's something I never expected to happen, but it's been such a great, great, great thrill for me. And so, yes, very, very excited about the Kickstarter. Very excited about this book. I've never had more fun writing anything in my life, really.
So is this the game, or is it a book? The Kickstarter.
It is a Kickstarter for the role playing game, and then you can buy our history book either as a reward tier, or you can buy that as a separate item if you want.
Okay, cool. I put a reminder on.
Thank you.
I will check it out. I'm always looking for new superhero RPG systems and stuff. So.
Yeah, well, this is something truly unique, and it looks like a lot of fun. I mean, it seems to be designed to where everybody at the table can contribute. There's none of that. You get knocked out in the first round of combat, and then you have to sit there and eat popcorn while everybody else actually fights the villain.
So what system do you have in mind with that description, Chris? I'm kidding. You have to name names.
Has that not happened in every single game we played, regardless of genre? Somebody gets taken out by a lucky shot in the first round of combat, and they just spend the rest of the evening watching everybody. It's not endemic to superheroes or any role playing genre or system, really.
It's normally the mage in Dungeons & Dragons first level. He gets hit by a flying rock and he's out for the rest of the game.
No, hey, it's always the fighter. So no matter how much armor you put on, no matter how much you dodge shit, you always go in there and get hit first. I played a Pathfinder Rise of the Rune Lords game, and no one told me that there's a lot of freaking giants that have reach in this game. And the thing is, there was no one else playing the tank. So it's not like I could share damage with someone else. So I'd always be like, okay, cool. My brawler that punches people is going to run at the giant and get hit three times before he gets to the guy, and then I punch him once, and then I'm done. I think that character died a total of 9 times by the time we were finished.
Nice.
And Mike, as a special treat for the listeners, if you're interested, I have a section of the chapter that I'm currently editing for the history book. I have a little snippet I can share with the people here and give an idea what they're in for. This hasn't been edited or anything, but this is just give you an idea what we're shooting for if you want to hear it.
Oh, yeah, I can't say no to that, please.
Okay, all right. This is in reference to the legendary campy 1966 TV show based on The Wraith, which was a huge, huge hit on ABC in our minds, at any rate. But I threw this in here based on that. For most of The Wraith's special guest villains, appearing on the show was a victory lap at the close of a memorable acting career. A notable exception was a seemingly down on his luck former TV Western star who just had his long running series suffer an abrupt mid-season cancellation. Never one to miss out on hiring a name actor at a discount, the producer of the show, who is going to be one of our backers — that was one of our reward tiers for putting the backers' names in the book, but cool, your name here — quickly signed ex-Rawhide star Clint Eastwood for the role of disfigured heavy Mr. Hideous. The resulting episodes, Mr. Hideous, Totally Ridiculous, written by legendary science fiction author Harlan Ellison, parentheses, under his Cordwainer Bird pseudonym, became some of the more tense and memorable in the show's history. A follow-up appearance was quickly planned, but by that time, Eastwood had gone to Europe to shoot A Fistful of Dollars. That film's success meant Eastwood would thereafter require many fistfuls of dollars, and thus plans for a return were scrapped.
That's awesome.
Thank you. Cool. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
That is pretty great. Yeah.
Thank
Has
you.
Has Clint signed off on this?
What's that?
Has Clint signed off on this?
Well, we were a parody. Now, and who knows? Maybe my editor will throw it out. But
can we please get a foreword by Clint Eastwood on this?
I'm sure he's got nothing.
That'd be amazing.
I'm sure he's got nothing better to do.
He's talked to an empty chair somewhere in California. Heyo, sorry. I did enjoy. I was shocked and amazed at that movie the trailer for your book. I was delighted to see that.
Have you seen the second one yet?
Is that the one with Daniel Baldwin?
Daniel Baldwin?
He's the best Baldwin. He was the one with the cameo in The Sopranos. You don't remember him?
I only know Alec, and that's just because he's just this font of stupid things coming out of his mouth. And
well, there's all these Baldwins. You got to get up on them. There's the one on Firefly.
Oh, okay. I should probably watch that someday. But no.
You've not watched Firefly.
No,
dude, you got no geek cred now.
Monkeys.
Your geek cred is gone.
Terrible.
No, I had the whole series on VHS when it first aired, and I was really, really, really looking forward to it. And then it became this big, overhyped thing. And I just when things get a certain big, I'm more.
I understand. Oh yeah. Yeah, I'm totally with you. Totally with you on that one. Yeah, when everyone says it's the best thing ever, you just think, yeah, well, I can put it off then.
Well, it's partly that, and now plus it's just been spoken of so much, I kind of feel like I've seen it.
Trust me, when they announced it, is the concept is like it's cowboys in space. It's like, oh, that's gonna be ropey as hell. And then I watched like two, and I thought, nope, this is good. And yeah, it's 14 episodes. It's a very short time of your life. if it turns out to be terrible, so. But yeah, you've definitely got to at least watch the first one or two just to.
Oh, and I will get to it someday. But as you guys have noticed from my recent Blake 7 obsession, you know, I'm finally getting my hands on shows that I've waited 35 years.
Thanks
to
for that as well, by the way, because I've now watched the entire 4 series of that over the last couple of weeks as well. So
since
you mentioned it a lot, I've yet to watch the last episode, but I've watched every single episode, one a day, every episode from season 1 all the way through to season 4.
Oh, make sure you have strong drink with you when you watch that last episode, man.
It's a surprisingly good show.
Amazingly good show.
There's some very, very cool stuff in it, and it reminds me a lot of the Traveller RPG as well. So it's kind of got that kind of social thing, and these different planets that got different stuff going on. Love it. Absolutely love that show.
Well, we're doing an actual play of the RetroStar game that Cynthia Celeste Miller's Spectrum Games put out. And part of the reason, one of the things that won me over about that game is they have a section in there how to use the system to play Blake 7. And yes, absolutely. I'm so in.
Okay.
Speaking about episodes, do any of you guys watch My Hero Academia?
I keep hearing about it, but I haven't seen it. How about anybody else?
No, I'm the same problem. I'm terrible for watching anime because I only ever watch it in Japanese, and that means I have to sit there and actually watch it, which means if I'm doing something else.
I think you must just do a search, but I think it's either Hulu or something like that, one of those other networks, actually have it a proper dubbed version.
Oh, okay.
If you can find it, a Google search should be able to find which place has it dubbed. And I can just say that I want to do comics that are that good because they reinvent the teen superhero genre in such a good way. Like when you look at a story and you think, oh, it's going to go this way because that's the only way that it's ever goes. Like, the mean kid is going to turn into the supervillain because that's how it's always told. That's not what happens. And it's hard to pick a favorite character because they're all awesome. There's a character in there who shoots sticky tape out of his elbows and he's awesome.
Funny enough, like, a friend of mine was just talking about this the other day because he said he's got a GM that is running a Mutants Masterminds campaign and it's a rotating campaign with the Teen Titans, the X-Men, and My Hero Academia as the three worlds. And now they've started crossing over. So characters are showing up from one world to the other world. So because the systems are the same, they're doing that. And apparently it's all getting mashed up in some cross-dimensional weirdness stuff going on. So, yeah, I'm not too sure about Sticky Tape Elbow Man showed up yet. But.
but the thing is, like, they use their powers in such creative ways. The fight scenes are amazing. The characters are all very engaging and stuff. I'd say I'm very fussy with my anime and stuff. Give it, if you aren't hooked by the fourth episode, and you'll know exactly which scene it is when that happens, and you're not hooked by the time that happens, then the series isn't for you. But you'll know it when it happens. That's all I can say. I've watched all three seasons twice already. No, three times already, and I have to now wait until October for season four. So I've started buying all the manga now.
Cool.
No.
Anyway. Well, yeah, I think we've been talking for about an hour, and we had promised you initially we're just going to do half an hour, and I don't want to be responsible for the delay of any of the issues.
You're going to
Mike.
Yeah, I'm going to have a shower now, get refreshed, and then I'm going to crack on.
Nice.
Good. Thanks to everybody for coming out, and thanks to our listeners for listening, and we'll catch you next time on the Banff Podcast.
Cool. Thanks, guys.
Boom.
Thanks.